the punishment should be apt, for thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies. Prabhupada, the reason why pure souls come into the existential circumstances of the material world, which is considered to be the criminal department of the Supreme Lord, is stated in Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, verse 27. It is stated that as long as a living entity is pure, he is in complete harmony with the desires of the Supreme Lord, but as soon as he becomes impure, he is in disharmony with the desires of the Lord. By contamination, he is forced to transfer to this material world, where the living entities have three enemies, namely desire, anger, and lust. These three enemies force the living entities to continue material existence, and when one is free from them, he is eligible to enter the kingdom of God. One should not, therefore, be angry in the absence of an opportunity for sense gratification, and one should not be lusty to acquire more than necessary. In this verse, it is clearly stated that the two doormen should be sent into the material world, where criminals are allowed to reside. Since the basic principles of criminality are sense gratification, anger, and unnecessary lust, person conducted by these three enemies of the living entity are never promoted to Vaikuntha Loka. People should learn Bhagavad Gita and accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as the Lord of everything. They should practice satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord instead of trying to satisfy their own senses. Training in Krishna consciousness will help one be promoted to Vaikuntha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Darasati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirase Sasanyavani Paskatyadi Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudevi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Therefore, let us consider how these two contaminated persons should be punished. The punishment should be apt, for thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entity have three kinds of enemies. The Bhagavad Gita has described how the living entity comes to this material world. Icha dvesha samutena dvantva mohina bharata. Sarva bhutani sammoham sarve yanti parantapa. It means, O sign of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arising from desire and hate. As a living entity does not act in harmony with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will develop a desire which brings him to this material world. It is described that our free will means that we can act also in disharmony of the Supreme Lord. not immediately hate the Supreme Lord, but we develop a desire to enjoy separately from Him. And this desire brings us into a state where we are no longer actively engaged in Krishna's loving devotional service. So from there we come to a passive state, which is in the body of Mahavishnu. At one particular time, the Lord manifests, let us say, the Lord's associate, companion is the English word, develops a, which is Goddess Rama, she develops a form which is in the material, on the material side. And there, the living entity looks on this form, becomes attracted for sexual pleasures. He is aware of the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in exchange with Rama, and when he actually sees her in a material form, in the material world, then he becomes attracted. This Rama is a manifestation of Radharani. Once there was a Bhakta, whose name we won't mention here, who joined with a girlfriend, and one Bhakta leader told him, everyone in the material world wants his own Radharani. This is a fact. We all want Rama for our enjoyment, the companion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we go into the material world. Now, at the time when we are still residing in the Lord's body, the personified Vedas pray to the Lord, and you can read these prayers in the exactly what chapter, but it's in the Krishna book. There, the personified Vedas, they chant Udishta, Udishta, Yadratha. The living entities wake up. In other words, before coming into the material world, we have the chance to wake up and not be attracted to our material sense gratification. However, due to a determined way of trying to enjoy, we are actually not following the call of the personified Vedas, and we move towards the material side. See, we have, this is also an example, this same process takes place in our own spiritual life. Sometimes people ask, how is it possible that believe the spiritual world? Well, you can look in your own personal life. Sometimes we simply do not heed or follow the instructions of the Vedic scriptures. We become, so to say, negligent towards the good counsel and follow our own desires for sense gratification. This can be seen very practically. It is not theoretically, it is observable by one and all. So, as the Gita says, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. The original duality is that we want something separate, want to enjoy separately from the Lord, and then a jungle of duality is born. That when the living entity comes into this material world, there are so many things which he desires, so many things which he does not desire, which seem to him almost abominable or not conducive for his pleasure. Therefore, he avoids. So this was one point. Yes. Now, in the material world, it is described there are three kinds of enemies. Does any one of you remember these three enemies which have been described here in this paragraph? Not completely. Okay, I will read them to you. They also appear in the Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter. Trividam narakasyedam dvaram na shanam atmanaha kama krodas tata lobhas tasmat itat trayam trayayet. There are three gates leading to this hell. Lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. Perfect. The beginning of demoniac life is described herein. One tries to satisfy his lust and when he cannot, anger and greed arise. The sane man who does not want to glide down to the species of demoniac life must try to give up these three enemies, which can kill the self to such an extent that there will be no possibility of liberation from this material entanglement. In another place in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna describes where this lust takes its seat, so to say. It is in the intelligence, in the senses, and in the mind. So, the eternal enemy of the living entity is this lust which comes up in contact with the material world. It is an enemy which almost attacks imperceptibly. I remember having heard a story about one little Rajasthani. It's not exactly a kingdom, a subdivision of a kingdom. Germany, it is, in German language, it's called it Fürstentum. So, this, it's like a baron. It's a kshatriya who has his own men and his own land and lives in a castle. So, at the time of Muslim invasion in India, these kshatriya kings, in order to protect their subordinates, built a protective wall around the little town. And in other words, they didn't have their own fortress. So it was described that yes, the Muslim tried to conquer this fortress, and they were unsuccessful. They could not do it because these kshatriyas were so heavy. These few men which lived in this, it's not even a town, it's a little maybe a village. They were so heavy, they fought with a division of 10,000 Muslim soldiers, maybe 100 kshatriyas, and the Muslims could not do it. I mean, they brought their cannons to dismantle the protective wall. They brought their letters, the correct word, when you climb up, the letter. Letter. They brought their letters. But they would not be able to conquer them. In the fights, the women would also fight. They would finish with swords and Muslim soldiers left and right. They were such valiant warriors. It is unimaginable. So the way they, the Muslims finally got the got this village was that they dug in the night a tunnel underneath the protective wall, and through this tunnel they entered. This is unfair, of course, you know, but the Muslims didn't care for these ethical rules. And then in the morning, actually early in the morning, they attacked by surprise. And once they were in the village wall, of course, it was no question for the Chachiyas to survive, since what can a couple of hundred men do in combat against something like 8,000 people, 2,000 of Muslims already killed. So they could actually take the village, and it was a very heroic fight. Even the woman would not surrender. When the husbands were killed, they would come and fight against the village, against the Muslim. Only to the point where all the men and women were slaughtered brutally, they could take this village. So, this is a very heroic fight, and I thought of it in the context of today's verse. Since something is very instructive here, it is that the enemies could not capture those Rajasthani Chatriyas as long as they were outside of the wall. Only when they went inside the wall, they were able to capture them. So lust, karma, this is 1,000 soldiers or billions of soldiers, which could be called the material desires, is ineffective in a devotee's life as long as he remains outside. But once he enters inside his mind, his intelligence, then he is successful, although the devotee might be very strong, like we hear in this life of the Rajasthani Chatriyas. It is a fact, if our mind and our intelligence becomes infected by this lust, then it is very easy that we become confused and bewildered in our spiritual life. However, as long as it is outside, remains outside, it's actually not possible to finish a devotee. Look at us, if we are surrounded by a materialistic civilization which is cultivating lust and greed, lust and anger and greed. I mean, every morning they take a shower in these three enemies, just like we go under crystal clear water and shower. They nearly brush their teeth, and then they drink coffee, and whilst they drink coffee they read the newspapers or hear radio, which is all filled with materialistic garbage. And then finally, when they are freshly showered in lust, greed and anger, they go to their working place where they are subjected to so many unnecessary activities, and they might on the way see what's new in the cinema. Will be a film which half-naked women engaged in lusty affairs with men. They also will pass the shopping windows where different unnecessary material goodies are presented in a very attractive way, almost like we present and decorate our altars. These windows are decorated in a very lavish and attractive fashion, so that anyone who comes by is immediately attracted for purchasing these goods. So the whole material survey, and then then they look at deep into the eyes of the opposite sex, and they imagine how he, how she or he would look without cloth, and meditate about it, and then they come home. Houses, Tamagun, like always, and after all this frustrating enterprise of working, they desire to have sexual intercourse with their wives, and the woman is waiting for this moment, and in this way they lead their sad materialistic lives. They constantly are in contact with the three gates which lead the living entity to degradation and not to elevation of the soul. So, lust is, in other words, all pervading in this materialistic civilizations, and there is no guard against it. People are not trained to fight this lust. They even invite the lust to come inside. They invite the Muslims to destroy them, so to say. It starts with in the youth. There is no training for brahmachari. I have heard in schools, the teacher who gives enlightenment about sexual things, they say, he tells the boys, if you do not feel lusty, there's no woman, then you know, you don't want to go to the so disgusting. There is no training. People are, young boys and girls are exposed to sense gratification through hits, through pop songs. This whole materialistic civilization does not know of any other definition of satisfaction than to have sexual intercourse or do everything which is before that step, looking lustfully at each other, you know, mixing freely and dressing in a way which draws the attention towards the private parts. It is very disgusting, actually. So it starts in the youth, where there is no training of brahmacharya, and of course these wasted young people who have already lost semen a billion times, you know, enter into a marriage life where they further continue to go into these lusty desires. There's no protection against these three enemies. The civilization is conquered by the three enemies with their many, many different soldiers. But, and this is my point, as long as the devotee remains internally strong, he is not affected. Once, however, and this is a great risk living in such a climate for sense gratification, once we are internally infected and our minds become filled with thoughts for different kinds of sense gratification, not only the sexual sense gratification, eating and mainly it's eating. The pleasure of the tongue and the genital, of course, but around it are nice furniture, nice entertainment, and so on and so forth. Once we become slightly agitated, this is very difficult in our Krishna conscious life. There is, Srila Prabhupada makes a very nice point in describing Ajamil's downfall. You know, he was engaged in a pious life, in a very spiritually oriented life. However, when he saw sutra and prostitute embracing at a lonely spot in the forest, those enemies could enter his mind, and he was finished, actually. He desired to have the association of this prostitute. So in this way, in the purpose to this section of the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada describes then, that time, there, this was a rare case that such an embrace took place. But nowadays, I mean, it is very common. When you drive through the city, you can see it all the time, isn't it? I mean, it is very common. So we, our own Ajamil-like so-called Krishna consciousness, is in danger. If Ajamil is his Vedic upbringing and his culture, Vedic culture could fall down in thought and then in action, what to speak of us? So, in another place, in one of his commentaries, Srila Prabhupada said, however, if we take shelter in the holy name, and just like Hari Das Thakur did, we can be sufficiently protected from the onslaught of material desires. He makes this point. But without taking the shelter, we whose life have been spent in a non-Krishna conscious way before we came are in great danger of fall down. So these are some interesting points in the Prabhupada. I want to continue on of this text 35. I'm hoping to get to a certain purport which comes in the section of the Bhagavatam. So I'm several verses. Tesham iti ditam uva vavatare yagoram tam brahmadandam anivararanam asrapurai satyo hader anuchara urubi yathastat padagraha papatatam atikatarena. When the doormen of Vaikuntha Loka, who were certainly devotees of the Lord, found that they were going to be cursed by the Brahmanas, they at once became very much afraid and fell down at the feet of the Brahmanas in great anxiety, for a Brahmanas' curse cannot be counteracted by any kind of weapon. Purport. Although by chance the doormen committed a mistake by checking the Brahmanas from entering the gate of Vaikuntha, they were at once aware of the gravity of the curse. There are many kinds of offenses, but the greatest offense is to offend a devotee of the Lord. Because the doormen were also devotees of the Lord, they were able to understand the mistake and were terrified when the four Kumaras were ready to curse them. A curse of a Brahmana cannot be averted. It is bound to happen. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead is able to redirect the curse of a Brahmana. Otherwise, it is very sure to hit his target. You remember the curse thing of Maharaj Parikshit, where the little boy Sringi was pronouncing his curse. And we also remember the curse of the Brahmanas who cursed the Yadu dynasty when they were agitated by Samba and other friends, other sons of Lord Krishna. So all these curses which we heard of came true because the Lord did allow them to take place, and he generally allows curses which are pronounced by Brahmanas to take place because he's described as Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, the friend and worshipper of the Brahmanika culture. He washed Sudamana's feet when Sudama Brahmana came to see his And he even says in one verse, which we will read, I mean, we won't read it today, but it comes in this section, that he's ready to lop off the tear of his own arm if it is found to act hostile against the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. He's such a great admirer of the Brahminical culture. The curses those Brahmanas pronounce are therefore entrusted with Brahma Tejas, a spiritual force which cannot be counteracted. So, there's, however, therefore, because this is so serious to anger the Brahmanas, we find that this is the first and most heavy offense in chanting the holy name. It is to offend the great devotees who have engaged their lives in propagating the holy name. And the only shelter which you can find once you have committed this offense is to go with great humility to the lotus feet of those offended Vaishnavas and beg them for forgiveness. Otherwise, the reaction of this offense can disturb your whole devotional life. So, but the Lord, once the Lord is against these curses, I mean, doesn't want them to take effect, then no one can do anything. It is described how Krishna protected Arjuna against these different curses at the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Many, many curses were hurled upon Arjuna. Now, when he when the battle was over, Krishna asked Arjuna to get down from the chariot first. This astonishing a little bit, because the charioteer actually has to go down and get down before the warrior in order to help the warrior who is in this heavy armor to get down. Charioteers had armor, and in order to kill them, you sometimes had to pierce through the joints. For instance, Duryodhana was Dronacharya was clad in heavy armor, and the only way to shoot him was in his fingertips. So once this was done, it's very comfortable. So, and he didn't die. He was protected by so many things. Anyway, so Arjuna jumped down. Chariot, and then Krishna went. And as soon as Krishna went, the whole chariot burnt up, being destroyed by the curses and by the Brahmastras and by the mantras and tantras which were heard. This story shows us how Krishna protects his devotees, so that curses do not take effect. It's described also in Harinam Chitamani how the holy name, Krishna in the form of the holy name, protects the devotees from evil planetary influences and also curses. And it's described like that. So, but generally, if Krishna allows the curse to take effect, there's no weapon, no protection against the curse. Therefore, the two doormen were very much aggrieved. They fell down at the lotus feet of the saints and asked forgiveness. That's the other remedy. I think I mentioned it, to ask forgiveness from the devotees or from the Brahmana. Then he can retract the curse, so to say. So we read our last verse for today, in text 36, Bhuya Dagoni Bhava Bhagavat Vyakari Dando Yono Hareta Surahelanam. Apyashesham Mavunuta Pakalaya Bhagavat Mitigo Moho Bhavet Vihatuno Rajato Adhodha. After being cursed by the sages, the dormant said, "It is quite apt that you have punished us for neglecting to respect sages like you. But we pray that due to your compassion at our repentance, the illusion of forgetting the Supreme Personality of Godhead will not come upon us as we go progressively downwards." Purport. To a devotee, any heavy punishment is tolerable, but the one which affects forgetfulness of the Supreme... To a devotee, any heavy punishment is tolerable, but the one which affects forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord. The doormen, who were also devotees, could understand the punishment meted out to them, for they were conscious of the great offense they had committed by not allowing the sages to enter Vaikuntha Loka. In the lowest species of life, including the animal species, forgetfulness of the Lord is very prominent. The doormen were aware that they were going to the criminal department of the material world, and they expected that they might go to the lowest species and forget the Supreme Lord. They prayed, therefore, that this might not happen in the lives they were going to accept because of the curse. In the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, verses 19 and 20, it is said that those who are envious of the Lord and his devotees are thrown into the species of abominable life. Life after life, such fools are unable to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore they continue going down and down. I will read these two verses to you for you. 16th chapter. Tanaham dishata kuran samsareshu nadadaman kshipam yas kshipam yasram ashuban asurif epayonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demonic species of life. Asurim yonim apana mudajan manijan mani mama prabhyay vakunte yatato jantyadam angatim. Attaining repeated birth amongst the species of demonic life, O son of Kunti, such persons can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable. They come down in some, you know, bacteria, some demoniac bacteria, where they just cause trouble, and they are returning there, and they have no chance. Krishna actually, he abolishes very, very demoniac people. He just rejects them. That's the end of them. So, it is described that this is the most heaviest kind of punishment, that you are not able to remember Krishna because you are hurled into this. There's a shloka also, neha bikramana shoshti. to learn all these shlokas, all this forgetting them. Here. Neha vikramana shosti pradyava yo navidyate svadvam apyasadharana syatrayate mahato hayat. In this endeavor there is no loss of humiliation, and a little advancement on this path, it's Krishna consciousness, can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So, most dangerous type of fear is, Prabhupada explains this, but not here, so it was here, to be not even able to remember Krishna. In this way, get out of the suffering condition of material life. Many people have this kind of fear, isn't it? They are condemned almost in this materialistic civilization. They have no chance of coming to the morning program because they don't know that it is important to hear about Krishna. It's, look at the lives of the karmis. We may sometimes feel some unrest in our heart and some dissatisfaction, but at least we know about Krishna and we can increase our Krishna consciousness through chanting and associating with devotees and hearing and eating prasada. However, these karmis are verily condemned because they do not have these chances. They have no knowledge about this. So, Hare Krishna, this was some very nice points which occurred here in this Srimad Bhagavatam section. Actually, someone who reads the Bhagavatam in a regular way and understands it and thinks about it and remembers it, its contents during the day, it can never be overcome by misery. This is the art of the human form of life, to cultivate remembrance of what is heard. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, you might have heard. Shravanam, hearing about Krishna, Kirtanam, chanting about Krishna, and then and Smaranam, remembering. This is very important. Remembering Krishna, conscious thought during our day, will always act like a boat which carries us over the ocean of tribulations, the ocean of tears, teardrops, the ocean of lust. Conditioned souls, tears in this material world are filling up a whole ocean, and in this ocean we are swimming and slipping and climbing through our material existence. If you, however, become situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, even though you might have been a sinner, you have the opportunity to always be transcendental to the pains, miseries of material existence. So it's important for the Vaishnava to learn to remember Krishna during this day. It's very important also for us here. I notice this, it is, I think, Krishna's arrangement that we get out of this house. This house is in the night. It's very bad for the night. The most crazy forms of dreams. Today I was on the stage. I was a Dodi and I was chanting, but somehow I found myself on the stage with this crazy rocket roll. I always tried to say, tell them, come on, chant Hare Krishna, this is boring. You're not benefiting the people. And they simply wouldn't hear my advice. And for some reason I didn't go out of the concert because I was too idealistic, and the whole night was spent like this nightmare which I couldn't escape. The I tried yesterday night, I read for 1 hour about the pastimes of Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya, but still the dreams came. So it's a question of arrangement. We get a bigger temple. And we pray that our nice bhaktas will soon be delivered from material life. Good, so we want to stop here. Are there any questions regarding this? Yes. I think it is clear. Peter. When I'm in Germany, I can send you some tips which Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote. This will be very helpful. And you can share them with the devotees. Everyone can look in those photocopies. It is described that inattention during chanting the holy name has three causes. Symptom of laziness is that you cannot, you don't finish your rounds. Round you hang in your round, so to say, in the Vivek, and go and do some important activity like washing your clothes or so. Important, I say this word in a sarcastic way. And then there's a lack of ruchi, lack of taste. When we chant the holy name, sometimes we feel, let me talk more to someone, to a living person. This will be my pleasure. I've noticed often is when you get tired in the morning, when you chant your holy names, when you then by chance meet upon someone and talk with him, or you go to the telephone, to the comm. Then after you've done it, your tiredness is gone. It's just a mental thing. It's not a physical tiredness. I'm not saying that all tiredness is a mental tiredness. You understand? But often it is that our mind doesn't experience, doesn't have a ruchi. Ruchi means taste for the holy name. So, in this Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains the causes of these three types of inattention. He says it's an absorption in material life. Now, we as devotees do not have much material life. I don't think that your life is centered, or Krishna is the center of your life, but still you must check your mind where it goes during the day. And as I was describing with this example of the fortress, our material enemies are entering easily. I mean, that's their plan, that's their mission in life, to enter the conditioned soul's mind. So because of not only thinking of Krishna and thinking of some plans or dreams or remembering things of the material, of your material life, your past material life, this invitation comes. However, if you are very, if you develop a kind of distaste, then the attention is very good. Like this morning, I had this crazy dream, you know, I felt so ugh. Again, I couldn't sleep the whole night, you know, I had to get up several times, do something, it was foolish sleeping. And I felt so disgusted this morning with the whole material energy. I just want to go to Krishna. And in this state, you can change. It shouldn't be disgust. The feeling is not necessarily disgust. Everything nonsense. No, but some help, feeling of helplessness. Oh, Krishna, this material life is, it gets so much on my nerves and on my case. Please help me. Then, in this humility, you are usually also very attentive. It's described in Shikshastra Kantarina, the Pisa Vichana, Taroyiva, Sahishina, Amanina. It's free from all pride and false prestige. Amanina, Manadina, Kirtanina, Sadaha. I think that the holy names of the Lord can be chanted, all this in a state of humbleness. So somehow we have to avoid the causes of this inattention, which is, as I said, this distraction, which is there because our minds are not purified enough, and take shelter in the holy name. Somehow or other, there's a nice help of it is described that a remedial measure against these inattention is to go into the association of the Vaishnavas and chant with them. Another remedial measure is to go before the holy Tulasi tree. This is what I want to recommend. I think when we have this temple, nice temple, we should have one Tulasi. This helps very much if we chant before Tulasi, because she is a pure devotee of the Lord. She has a very nice influence on the chanting. Therefore, Haridas Thakur was always chanting before Tulasi. And another measure is, yes, on fast days, not Sunday feast, but you know, Jamashtami and so on, and also Kansi, he should forget about eating and sleeping and just chant. But as far as my first tip was concerned, to chant in the association of devotees, I have this theory about it.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So I just put this on and chant this Prabhupada for a while. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This helps a lot. This is a very special tape which has not been released. I think we can look up a little out and you can copy this. And then anybody who wants can have this. So nice, it's so clear. Every notice is very clear. So this helps a lot. It's described by Bhakti Vinodhaka to chant in the association of pure devotees and Prabhupada is a pure devotee. modern technique, and I personally find this is the best what the Kamis ever brought for, you know, tape recorder. It is excellent. And keep trying, never give up. Every morning you should feel disgusted. Oh, my chanting is on such a low standard. You know, how will I ever become Krishna consciousness if this continues? And once you chant in a proper way, you will see how all the
dead feelings within the heart, this mental feelings, you know, dissatisfaction, this life and all, it simply goes away. It is really effective. You begin to chant attentively, then your life will change. I feel also that Krishna will arrange everything in your life. You should feel, I'm now very much in bondage. I have to go to school. I can't do anything against it. And somehow I'm dedicating this Krishna. Of course, I want to give the paintings to the magazines, but still. You should sincerely and attentively chant, because Krishna might change the situation once he sees you to be very serious. It is described, how was this? It's not there in Sanskrit right now, but it says, I'm not in the Vaikuntha planets, I'm not in the hearts of the devotees. I'm only there by my pure devotees chant my holy name. Matanya. So I will give the state to Dhananjaya Prabhu or Abhaduta. I do not know who's in charge of the state ministry. Then you can test this out. Just chant along with Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Not the whole rounds, because this is not how Prabhupada usually chants. Prabhupada chants much faster. We have made this tape. It is Madhava Raja Prabhu has made this tape. I think it is from the Krishna Conscious LP. There's a Krishna Consciousness LP. He has always put the holy name, put it behind each other. So this is usually, it's not that we should now chant all our rounds from the first mantra to the last mantra like this. Prabhupada has seven minutes, like seven. It should not be above 7 minutes, you know, around 7 minutes, one round. But when we are feeling inattentiveness, we can chant like this with Prabhupada. Works wonderfully. I've just written a book about this whole thing, about this whole subject, and therefore I'm always very enlightened if someone asks me a question about this. It is only in German language, unfortunately. Very wonderful book. I mean, I'm saying this because it's not my own invention, this book. It is lot of Bhakti, you know, Thakur, lots of Prabhupada scrolls. It's just bursting with energy, with spiritual energy. It's a very nice book. Okay, any other question? I think everything is clear. When is Prasad? This is the only question. Hare Krishna. Zum Vorteil.